on their way from Texas all the way up through Kansas and heading up to Wisconsin to see their kids. And we're excited to have them here. And it's been 6 years that we were talking about it, since 2018, that they will be here. And that was just on a, I'm trying to remember if that was just on Wednesday night. But anyway, I'm glad that they're able to be here. And so we're going to turn over to Brother John to show a video of their ministry. And Brother, would you like me to just start that video up right from the beginning, or would you like to say a few words? Okay. So I'm glad to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor. It is such a blessing to be able to be back and to be able to see some familiar faces out there, see your faithfulness to the church, to God. And, this is the first time that we're traveling without any of our children. So this is a different furlough for us as well. It is a blessing to be able to share with you what God has been doing in Peru. Now, we're going to start off with the video. And then we're going to be taking some question and answer time during Sunday school. And so I've told people that usually the people are shy to ask the first question. You know, I don't want to be the first one to ask them things. But if there are no questions, then I'm just going to quiz you on the video, because it gives all kinds of information and facts about Peru and the ministry. But also, I'd like for you to be able to see the pictures of those that you have helped impact there in Peru. It is a blessing to be able to see that we've been able to share the gospel with many in Peru, whether it's starting churches or evangelism and working with camps and different things. But I put a video together so that you can be able to see it as well, and to be able to rejoice with us in those that have been saved, baptized, and have heard the gospel. And we're co-laboring together for this. You know, as missionaries, we can't do this without churches sending us to be able to share this. And for your church to partner with us in allowing us to be able to go, that fruit would be added to your account. And so we came back, as Paul says, that he came back and shared with the church all the things that God has done. And so we'd like to be able to do that today, especially in the Sunday school hour, is to be able to answer your questions. And we've got so many different stories and experiences and things we'd love to share with you. We don't have time for it all. But we'd love to be able to share with us with you some of those things. And so at this time, let's go ahead and do the video, and then we'll take some questions after this.
With the news of wars and rumors of conflicts in the world today, it would be easy to forget the spiritual battle that is taking place throughout the world as well. Who will go? The Harris family has answered the call to go. Their home church, Faithway Baptist, recognized their call to missions and joyously became their sending church with the assistance of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. They arrived in Peru in January 2011 for Spanish and cultural training. In 2012, they began with a vision to establish churches in Peru. Peru, a multi-diverse country with habitats ranging from the arid plains of the Pacific coastal region in the west to the peaks of the Andes Mountains extending from the north to the southeast of the country, to the tropical Amazon basin rainforest in the east with the Amazon River. Peru has a population of over 35 million souls, and its capital and largest city is Lima, with one-third of its population. Peru is the 19th largest country in the world and the third largest in South America. The sovereign state of Peru is a representative democratic republic divided into 25 regions. Its main economic activities include mining, manufacturing, agriculture, and fishing. The main spoken language is Spanish, although a significant number of Peruvians speak Quechuan languages, Aymara, or other indigenous languages. The average monthly income is $450. 30% of the population is now classified as impoverished and disproportionately represented in rural villages and towns. In four of Peru's 25 regions, mainly in Andean areas, it was found that over 80% of people cannot access basics such as water, electricity, mobile phone services, and internet. Peru had the highest COVID-19 death rate in the world per capita, with over 6,400 deaths per 1 million citizens. And even though the physical needs are obvious, the spiritual needs have been largely overlooked. Many Peruvians are spiritually blind as Satan brings lies and confusion through a number of false teachings and customs. The country identifies as 60% Catholic, although many are not even practicing that religion. Some customs are being followed without understanding the dangers involved. Many other religious groups are making their way into unreached areas and spreading false hope rather than the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important for the truth of God's word to be proclaimed. The end times draw near, and the call remains the same: who will go?
We are John and Nisha Harris, church planting missionaries in Peru. We have answered the call to go and make disciples of Jesus. We are serving God by evangelizing, preaching, teaching the gospel throughout Peru. We have had the privilege of directing camps for churches and teaching in pastor seminars to help train others in God's word. We, along with other missionaries, established Abundant Life Baptist Church in the Andes mountain town called Andahuaylas. We had the privilege of strengthening a church in Caraballo that was without a pastor. And in a second church in Los Olivos, the Lord allowed us to establish a program reaching teenagers and single adults. We began starting a new church in another Andes mountain town called Huancayo. We formed a missions team to start Potter's Baptist Church. We are currently establishing another church in the high jungle area of Oxapampa called Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Oxapampa is a unique place in Peru. It began in 1891 with three different people groups. There were the Yanesha indigenous Indians, the Peruvian colonists from the mountains of Andahuaylas and Huancayo, along with Austrian and German immigrants. For over 100 years, the area has mixed races while still preserving their distinct heritage. We look to continue to establish the church through the weekly worship services and kids club, along with the evangelism and discipleship programs. We continue to visit and evangelize the surrounding villages. Spreading God's love and gospel message to those in need is what a missionary gets to do. And we give all the glory to God for the great things that He has done in and through us. We are praying that God will send us helpers who will assist in the making of disciples for each age group. We are also praying that God will allow the church to have adequate land and facilities to properly and safely meet together. We thank you for your part in helping us answer God's call of strengthening and establishing churches here in Peru.
The call for more laborers and support still needs to be heard. Let us redeem the time, because the days are evil. Thank you for helping send John and Nisha Harris.
Pastor, if it's okay, I think I'm going to just go ahead and stay down right here. Is there the small pulpit that was here earlier?
Oh, yeah.
So that gives you a little bit of an idea of where we're at there in Peru. divided into three separate areas along the coast of the Pacific Ocean is the desert. That is all your modern cities. Then the Andes Mountains, that's where you would think of Peru in your studies, because that's where they preserve a lot of their heritage. The llamas, the alpacas, the textile, bright clothing, the Machu Picchu, the Inca ruins, that's all preserved up in the mountains. And then you go into the Amazon, further east, you get into the Amazon with the indigenous Indians. Three totally different areas in different languages, different culture, different of everything. And so this is where God has called us. Okay, I said I would take some questions. Anybody have? And was brave enough to do the first question. Yes. What is the main goal, especially for a missionary? So not just for us, but missionaries as a whole, is be able to glorify God through the spreading of the gospel there in Peru. Now, specifically, we're a church planting missionary, so not only do we get to evangelize in spreading the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves to many of them there, but being able to establish churches so that they can be able to be discipled and grow. And to be able to be strengthened so that they can be able to multiply by making disciples themselves. So our goal is specifically is the spreading of the gospel and establishing churches for God's glory. And so that's a very good question. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am.
How many churches have you started and how far apart?
Okay, you know what? So that's a very good question. As the video shared with you, I'll start from the beginning. We came in January 2011, thinking that we knew enough of Spanish to be able to get by. I knew taco, burrito, a few of those Spanish words, but I did not realize that there are so many differences in Spanish. There is Spain Spanish, there is Mexican Spanish, and then there's a South American Spanish, Peru specifically. And they didn't even realize what taco was, according to my definition of what a taco was. I invited a Peruvian over to our house for tacos, and he looked at me strange, like, what are you talking about? I'm just like, oh, come on now. It's the only thing I really have going for me and everything. And come to find out in South America, tacos is the word for the heel of a girl's shoe. And he's looking at me like, why are we coming over to eat the heels of girls' shoes? And I was just like, wait, what? No, it's food. No, that's not what they use down there. And so I had him come over. My wife prepared tacos. We set everything up on the table with all the different ingredients to put on a taco. And there in Peruva culture, they wouldn't do a potluck like we would have in church, because there you have to take everything. And so you would have to taste everything. And so we've been in some of the church potlucks. It wouldn't fit on one plate, believe me, everything. But then the culture, you would, so not to offend anybody, so you take a little bit of everything. So he wanted to load his taco with every single ingredient. I was like, no, that's not how you do it. You just do what you like. If you don't like this, you don't need to. He's like, really? Everything. So he was walking away from there. He's like, now I now have a new favorite food, tacos, and it's not the heel of a shoe with it. But you know what? So learning the culture there, our first year was spent to learn the language and the culture. We found a ministry there south of the capital city of Lima. They have a deaf ministry, a deaf orphanage, deaf school, deaf church, as well as a hearing one. We were allowed to build an apartment there on the church grounds for our family to be able to stay. We had Peruvian pastors that tutored us in Spanish. Now, we had to be able to apply for our paperwork to be able to stay there. And so that takes a long process to be able to do. And so while our paperwork was being processed and having to go in for meetings and having to go in for different results and different things, we were being tutored in Spanish. So our first year was spent there, and that's why I put a short clip on there on the video that we had to learn Spanish. And to be able to learn the culture, and to be able to understand the people. And so that first year working with some of the missionaries there really helped us to be able to grow and understand a lot. And very humbling when you go to the market and not be able to communicate with the people, and having children help you out. Like, how much is this? And how do we do this? And but it was a growing experience as well. After our first year, we went into the mountains, Andes Mountains, in a town called Andahuaylas. Now, this would be about 18 hours to get from the capital city into the mountains. And the reason why is because the roads were not finished. And so it was a really hard trek. Now there is a paved road all the way there, and they can make it in like half the time, being able to get there. But our first church was in Andahuaylas. Now we had a missions team there, and so we saw this church grow just very quickly. We started renting a corner store. And it only could hold about 25, 30 people, and that quickly filled up. We had to go to a restaurant and renovate rent a restaurant. It could hold a little over 100, and it quickly outgrew that. We ended up finding an abandoned school, Catholic school, ended up moving out. We ended up renting that property, building a big temple that could hold about 400. And the church was growing very quickly. They wanted to start a school. The Catholics, as I noted on the video, the country recognizes the Catholic Church in so much of their religion. And so, therefore, the Catholic Church has rights to be able to control what is being taught in the public schools. They will require Mass, and they will require other things, learning the catechisms and things. And so the church wanted to start a Christian school for their kids to be able to. The Christian school was started, and it grew to over 100 students. This ministry grew very quickly in just 3.5 years. We just saw God work. And so that was our first church startup. When the church becomes independent, meaning it has its own pastor, it is not relying on outside funds, it can be able to have sustain itself financially, and it has all of the membership to be able to sustain all the requirements in the church. When it becomes independent, we look to separate from that church and go start another one. Now, we don't, there's different philosophies that are out there. Some will divide up with, take some of the church members and go start another one. For us, we leave it completely with the new pastor that is there, and we go completely different, separate area and start a church. So the next church that we started is probably 6 hours away through the mountains passes to be able to get to the other church. In that time period, we came back for a short furlough, shared with different people of what God was doing there in Peru. Came back to make that transition to a whole new area, moving all of our stuff and getting a new property rented and starting all over. And so during that process of renewing our paperwork that we had to do every year and to be able to get that transition, we helped strengthen the two churches. One of them that was without a pastor that we were able to fill the pulpit and to be able to help them. Now they have a pastor and growing and exciting to be able to see. And the other church that is an independent church, Baptist church, but just has struggled with trying to get the single group started. And so we helped them in that transition before we went into Huancayo. Huancayo, the second Andy Mountain church that we started. We went in, and it was just our family, my wife and I and our four children. And so we started evangelizing in the streets. We started using a small tent, sort of like the Amazing Grace Ministries, started evangelizing the open markets. And as people were getting saved, as we started having Bible studies in our home, we then started meeting for regular services. And as the church started their regular services, as I was evangelizing, I came across another Peruvian missionary, Baptist missionary, come to fellowship with them and find out that their sending church is from the coast, and his sending pastor is a North American missionary. Talked with them of the same circles, and we agreed that we both wanted to start a church in this area, and so we teamed up together to be able to start, as the video showed, Potter's Baptist Church. We again started with the Bible studies in the home, went to rented a school, and started transporting all the materials for the church to be able to use the school, and so that was our second church that was established in the Andes Mountains. When the church grew, it was getting to a point where it was developing, had all the programs, whether it's the children, the ladies, the men, the teens, the different programs that were there, as well as financially, enough membership to be able to help them financially, that we, as the two missionaries, met together and said we have three choices. One of us stays here. Two, we candidate somebody. Or three, we train somebody to take over this church. I said, I'm a church planting missionary. I'd like to be able to go start another church as this is getting independent. And so he talked it over with his sending pastor, and he came back and said that he wanted to stay and be the pastor of the church there. So that allowed us to be able to transition, to be able to go and start another church. Now, this one that we're in now, as the video showed, this is going to be our third one. This one is now in the Amazon jungle. And again, that's different challenges, as you can imagine. And so going into the Amazon jungle, not too many people want to go there. And so it's not convenient. There's no malls or markets or stores or anything. And so not only for a religious standpoint, but the government standpoint, they can't get workers there. They can't get doctors, nurses, teachers. They can't get people to go there because it's not comfortable and convenient and paid like the coast would, where it's all modern cities. And so the government tries to find ways to be able to get teachers and doctors and different things to be able to go to those areas. Well, there's a lack also for religious believers to be able to share the gospel and to be able to establish churches that are there. You probably caught two of the prayer requests that we put on our video at the end. One is that God would provide us with more laborers. We had some good laborers, and they ended up leaving us. I'm talking about my four children. They were such a blessing to us, such a vital part in our ministry. Our oldest son was one that did all the preliminary things. He'd do the song leading. He would work with the youth. He was so social, active in evangelism with us. Our second son did all the electronic stuff, the microphones, the projector, the setting up the equipment, as well as working with the teams, and so vitally important. Our girls helped out with playing the instruments and be able to help out with the children and the greeting of people. And so they were such a vital part, and they ended up going back to the States to study. And so it left my wife and I there in the jungle by ourselves to start this church. And we're like, whoa, this is a lot. So now, instead of dividing up the classes with our children, my wife ends up taking nursery to 14-year-olds by herself. I ended up taking the 15-year-olds all the way up into the senior citizens by myself. And it's becoming very, very difficult as the church is growing to be able to maintain those things. So we began discipling more people, and people were not able to fill those responsibilities. COVID came. As you can imagine, COVID threw a monkey wrench in so many plans, not only in Peru, but here in the States. But in Peru, it shut the country down so much longer than anywhere else. As the death per capita in Peru was the highest than anywhere in the world, and it became very, very difficult. They tried to contain it as much as possible. They were saying that we were restricted from leaving our places, our houses, our huts. You were not allowed to leave, or you were arrested. It became so bad out there, and it made it very, very difficult for us. And so we were discipling people to be able to help us, but some were dying with COVID. Others had family emergencies. They all had to leave. And so we were praying that God would send more laborers to be able to help us in the ministry, that they would be trained, that the others would come to be able to help out. The second thing that praying is that God would allow us to be able to purchase land. Now, our pastor came down of our sending church, and he saw the need. Right now, we're using our shed in our front yard, our side yard there, for the ministry. He saw some of the pictures that were there. And so he realized that there is a big need. The church needs to get its own property. And so he started a fund to be able to raise money to be able to allow us to be able to purchase property. We have looked at two pieces of property. Each one costs $100,000. So we'd like to be able to purchase one of those pieces of property. And God has allowed us to be able to raise $44,000 of that so far.
And so we're praying that God would continue to allow us to be able to raise the funds, to be able to purchase one of those properties, and to be able to meet in a safe place. The small property you saw in some of the pictures, just before COVID, we had 110 kids for the kids' club there. And we were using the outside street and all kinds of things. It just wasn't space suitable. And it's affecting even from the church growing. We have two seasons, rainy season and dry season. Rainy season starts usually about Christmas time and goes till Easter, about 3.5-4 months. You'll hear on the news in Peru, there's flooding. There's all kinds of mudslides and things during that rainy season. But it makes it very hard for us to be able to meet, especially outside, when it's during that rainy season. So we're praying that God would allow us to be able to get suitable land for that. And so these are some of the things that have taken place with our ministry there in Peru. So if you were able to follow that, to zoom in on that question there, is that we have had the opportunity to start, this is our third one, two in the Andes Mountains, one in the jungle, strengthened two, that were without a pastor and wanted help with their program there, and to be able to help with the deaf ministry our first year. And so that's what God has allowed us to be able to do up to this point. So I was trying to explain it all to be able to answer that question. Very good.
Will you buy land with a building already on it, or will you build?
Yeah, the two properties that we're looking at do not have a building. It's just the land itself, and we would build. It is a lot cheaper to build there than in the States, and because of the materials and things that are there. And we have different people, whether in the church or helpers, others that said that once you get the land, we'll come in and help. And so the biggest thing by far is to be able to get the land, and then the others can be able to. Be able to come and do what they said they'd like to be able to help out with. And so that's our number one goal, is try to be able to get that land so that that can start to be built on. And as you realize, that can be even a little by little build out, expanding with the project that we have for it.
Do you have utilities there?
Wow. Yeah, I need to be careful on how I answer this. I answered a question similar to this in one church. And there was a Peruvian that was in the church. And I answered it. And they spoke up and said, "That's not true." And I was just like, "Well, what part are you talking about?" They were like, "Well, I'm talking about the capital city of Lima." I was just like, "Well, I was talking about this area in the jungle." And she's like, "Oh, that's true." And so I have to be careful not to answer so quickly. Because, again, those three are completely different from each other with it. In the jungle where we're at right now, when we first came in, it did not have a lot of those things. So they do not have sewage connections. So those pipes that go into the river, you have an idea of what that's for. They did not have internet access. It was more of a satellite signal through towers and satellite. And so this area, because my wife would say there's two ways to explain the jungle. There are villages that can be reached by a road and those that can't be. And that makes a huge difference. And so the villages that can't be reached by road, but it's by a river, they can't get supplies. And so in your mind, you're thinking of Indian villages. As I get a chance to be able to travel up and down the Amazon River, and we take medical supplies as well as clothes and Bibles and printed materials and go to villages. And I remember as I was going with a group, I asked them, I was just like, "How come we didn't stop at that village? That looked like it had some needs." And the guy said, "Well, we don't have a translator for that village." I said, "How do you know that?" And he was just like, "You can tell by how they build their huts." He said, "This village speaks this language. They build their huts with the mud. This one's with the sticks. This one with this material on the roof. This one with wood. This one, these." And he was able to identify this. So we went farther down and came across a village that we... He was just like, "We can stop here. We have a translator." So I would speak the Spanish. The translator would translate in the Indian language and to be able to share with it. I say that because when we further we go in, there's absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. They live only off the land at all. So there's no place to get food. There's no place to be able to have utilities and things like that. And so to be able to answer a question like that, In those villages, no, nothing at all with it. And there's the second part again that can be reached by a road. And the Indians are getting more representation in the government at this time. And so the Indians are coming out, getting representation, and being able to explain to them that, yes, we do want medicine. We do want teachers. We do want clothes. We do want help, these things. And the government is making access to those places. So we're getting more and more access to different villages by road or by a way, and to be able to bring materials in more. Our area is, you go through the low jungle and climb into the mountains. We're about a mile high where we're at right now in Oxapampa. We're a mile high, but because now that they have paved the road into our area, now that we have been there long enough, that they have got supplies in there now. And so even though we don't have a sewage plant, so therefore it's still pipes in it, we do have electricity. It goes on and off quite a bit, but not reliable. And now this year they have brought internet in that is, how do you say that, fiber optic? Oh, wow, it was life-changing. We were trying to homeschool our children without internet that could be accessible to download anything. And so now we have that connection, and so it's made a lot easier. And so we see a lot of changes that take place because we can be reached by our road. We just had a group come down from Michigan in May, just before we came back to the States. They were there at the end of May, beginning of June. And so we got on, they all flew into the capital city of Lima. They got on a bus, and you take a bus 11 hours to get to our place. You have to go over the Andes Mountains, the Snow Peak Mountains, and then you have to go into the low jungle. And so as they were traveling, I was explaining to them, they're like, why are our windows frosting up? It's like, you are now in the Andes Mountains and everything. Welcome with the snow peaks and everything. And then it got all hot. And I was like, you are now in the low jungle. And they're like looking out the window, and it's all bush and trees and things. And it's like, where is this missionary taking us? You know, like we're in his hands now. Where is he goes? And then we start climbing, and we arrive to where we're at in Oxapampa. And so that's an 11-hour bus trip to be able to get there. And that's, Lord willing, that the roads are not blocked and other difficulties of being able to get there. But so we do have some accessibility now where we're at because they have a road to be able to get those materials in. So I say that to go with the question of once we get land and we want to be able to build, now we have access to be able to get materials. Now we, as you see at the back of our prayer card, as well as on the video, that there are buildings that are being made out of brick and cement because we can be able to get that those materials there. Cell phone coverage, again, is spotty. Where we're at, we do have coverage in the village, but once you travel out, you'll lose it. In fact, just before coming back to the States on this furlough, one of the people in our church said, Pastor, they just made a road to a new village. And he's like, do you want to go? I was like, you know I do. You wouldn't have brought it to me any other way, because I love going and visiting other places and being able to share the gospel and things. He's like, all right, let's go. And so he was a dentist, and he is a dentist. And so we get in my vehicle, and we're going. Now, we would not classify this as a road. We had to go through the rivers and through the woods to grandmother's house. So we had to go through quite a bit, and we had to climb over a mountain that was about 3 miles high. And so I had to stop a couple times, take pictures and videos, brought it back to my wife. She's like, I'm not going with you to that village. There's a lot of places that are dangerous to be able to travel to. So as we get there, there are no internet, no phones, no phone signal, no nothing. But the village was so excited because they now have a path or road to their village, because they know now that as that gets more developed, more materials are going to be able to come in. So they were all excited about that. And so we get to some of those places, and there's not that opportunity and advantages for that. where we're living inside the, I used to call it a village all the time, but it's, again, it's grown so rapidly that now there's 10,000, and so it's a town now. It's growing so quickly, and they did that specifically after COVID. They needed to recuperate from the problems that they had economically. So they started promoting in the capital city tourism. And so they started changing their ranches into recreational places to come and see so that they could show their cows and maybe do a rodeo or something. And so they turned the ranches into recreational spots, and then it started to recover from that. And now they're realizing, whoa, we can get a lot more money through a tourism. And so they started to build some hotels, started to build some things inside the area, and it's starting to take off. It's a good thing and a bad thing, but it's a good thing because it's growing, and we can be able to have a part in the ministry of that. Or somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah, you know what? Again, when we left, we turned everything over to the pastor, and we started another church completely. They all of Peru got hit economically. Again, if you're not able even to leave your house on certain days, you couldn't work, you couldn't do anything. And so it got so bad that they were allowing them to be able to pull off their pension, those that had any, and spent that. And they were selling all their possessions and things to try to recover. They think it's really interesting because we still are North American. We still have some of those traditions. So we'll go to a store and be able to get a week of supplies and be able to have a refrigerator to be able to keep it in, where they would not. They would be able to buy their food for that day. So again, when COVID comes and they're not even able to buy their food and work to be able to buy their food, it caused so much difficulties. So it wasn't just our area. It was those other churches with that. But, yeah, they're still going. Yeah. Again, they were independent, so they were able to maintain themselves even through those times. I think I saw a question in the back there. Yes. Okay. No, they didn't. That's a very good question. And my sister does a little bit of American Sign Language. And so I thought I would try it on her and she's like, oh, no, it's not the same at all. And the reason why is because it's Spanish down there. So whenever I'm thinking sign language, I'm thinking Spanish, not English words. And just one example real quick and everything, when you do a sign language, the alphabet is very similar. Of course, Peru Spanish has a few letters extra with it, the ñe and the two L's and things. Again, they use the English, the Spanish words, not the English words. So like the sign language, the sign for church, they would use the foundation and use C for church. So that would be the sign for church instead of saying spelling it out and everything. Well, in Spanish, it's not church, it's iglesia. And so they would use the letter I, and that's the sign. So yes, it is different. And so they don't use ASL, they would use the Spanish version. The second question? Woohoo! That's a big question. I was saying that the three differences between the desert and the mountains and the jungle, and that's a big thing. Because up in the Andes Mountains, you get into snow peaks, and so when the sun is out, it's not so bad. But when the sun goes down at night with a breeze, it gets very chilly there. None of the houses have indoor heating or air conditioning. None in Peru. Whether you're up in the mountains, in the jungle, or in the capital cities, none of the houses have that. So those that are rich in the capital cities and things, they would plug in their heaters there. Up in the mountains, they just bundle up more clothes. And if you were to go into a hotel up in the mountains, they would give you those thick wool blankets and that weigh like 50 pounds on you. And they will bundle up to be able to stay warm. Out in the jungle, of course, the same thing. So not having the heat or the air conditioning, So they would either build their fires, or they would open up the windows or something for the areas to be able to have air ventilation with it. And so the temperatures are different in every single area. Now, where we're at specifically is because we're in the jungle, everybody would think that it's hot and sticky, but that's in the lower jungle. Because we're a mile high, it makes it, my wife would say, a fall weather year long. The whole year, we're usually in about 60s, in the 60s. And so really, that's not an issue for where we're at, well, thankfully. And it's usually the whole year is that same temperature, even in the rainy season. It's just the rainy season. Of course, it's wet and muddy and a lot more flooding and things that take place. But the weather-wise, it isn't that bad at all, specifically in our area. It'll be cold. The higher altitude you go, the colder it is. And then the coast, the desert on the coastline with that. Very good. Somebody else? Now, Pastor, what time do we end Sunday school? We got 4 minutes. Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew 4:19, a verse that I think is common to us that we would be able to look at through just these last few minutes. Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus is going to be looking for his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 19, common verse that we're familiar with, and Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. 3 points in particular right there in that verse. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Who's talking here? Jesus. And right there is a good place to be able to start. If those who want to be missionaries or those who are in a ministry, follow Jesus. Follow him. Now that does take some trust. Leaving family, leaving comforts, leaving many of these things. But you know, you can put your faith and trust in Jesus. And remember, he's talking to some of these people that are disciples. They are professional fishers. They are taxpayers. They have jobs. They have professions. They have families. And he said, leave it and follow me. Now, people aren't going to do that just out of a whim with that. They're going to be like, no, I need to know a few things first, you know. Who are you? You know, where are you taking me? You know, what's going on? But yet he said, follow me. We can trust Jesus, amen? Yeah. We can be able to trust him, put our confidence in him, and be able to keep his word, and we can be able to follow Jesus. Now he says, follow me, and I will make you. All right, the second part there. You know, I hear so many people say, oh, I can never be a missionary because, you know, I can't speak, Moses. I can't do this. You know, so many of the examples in the scriptures. Well, I don't have enough money, or I don't have this talent, or I don't have this ability, or I can't do this. You're failing to realize it is God that molds us and makes us. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is the one that provides. He is the one that protects. He is the one that guides. He's the one that leads. He is the one that we can put our faith and trust in. He says, follow me, and I will make you. It's not I'm picking you because you're great and famous and popular and rich and these things, and those are the only ones I can use. I will make you. I will make you. God is the one that gives us what is needed. And we can put our faith and trust in that. His grace is sufficient. Amen. His mercy is new every day, every morning. But look at the third part there. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, he's speaking specifically here to the disciples that knew exactly what he was talking about fishing. They knew everything about fishing with it. But you know what? He says, now, we're not fishing for fish, but we're fishing for men. And this is really what ministry is about, is those things that are lasting for eternity, not the things that are temporal. Now, sure, you can fish for a fish, and then you can be able to eat that fish, and then the next day you're going to need more fish. You're going to need more of that because you have more of an appetite. But he says, you know what? We're going to go out and we're going to fish for men. And we need to focus on eternity and not on the things of this earth. Looking at the things which are above. Lay up for treasures in heaven. You know what? That we would put our focus back on eternity. Those things that are going to last for eternity. That will bring glory to God. And he says, would you be willing to leave all, forsake all, and to be able to follow me so we can be able to be fishers of men? Oh, that we would have that same vision. That we would look for those things that are going to last for eternity. And realize that our souls last for eternity, either in heaven or in hell, that we would rescue people and share the gospel and give them the good news that Jesus saves, and that we would follow him with it. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to